Oh, welcome in to another daily editorial here in the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are going to focus a lot, almost exclusively, on the oil price, the news out of that OPEC Plus, the Saudis and Russia. I am chatting with Joseph Schatcher. He is the founder and editor of the Schatcher Energy Report. Now, Joseph, can you start us off with a general recap of how we got to where we are with this feud now that is brewing between Russia, Saudi Arabia, this whole OPEC Plus alliance that seemed to be working or trying to work together to keep the energy oil price in general up there at a higher level, but just as news broke last night, we're seeing that this alliance has now broken down and oil prices are significantly lower. Please share with us a little bit of the history of how we got here.
Sure, my pleasure, Corey. What happened was once the virus became more pronounced around the world, China, of course, being the epicenter of the virus. It was quite acknowledged by people that economic activity would be impacted. We saw commodity prices fall down, base metals, precious metals fell, energy fell, the Baltic Freight Index fell, and the price of crude, went down. And so Saudi Arabia got an agreement to cut by 500,000 barrels in the first quarter. That was done. And then as this thing got worse, and it became clear that we might lose 3 to 4 million barrels a day for the length of the time of this virus. So if you have, let's say, 9,900 million barrels demand during the winter, when you get into the spring, the demand will falter by a couple million barrels a day, and then it'll pick up again in the summer. But winter is the largest component of demand, falls off a couple million into the spring, then picks up in the summer, falls off in the fall. So Saudi Arabia was worried about that and wanted to have an additional 1.5 million barrel cut, leave the 500,000 cut that was already in place, not only through the end of March, but now into June, and then increment that by another 1.5 million barrels per day. They got the OPEC members to agree, but they wanted Russia's cooperation. Russia was wanting a couple of things from Saudi Arabia. They wanted Saudi Arabia, number one, to invest in their LNG business, and they didn't have enough money. Not that the Saudis had any either, which was shocking to me that that would be an issue. The other one is they wanted moral suasion done by the Russian government, by the Saudi government, with their buddies President Trump, to allow more sanction release against for Venezuela. Because Rosneft, the largest oil company in Russia, has a large number of investments there, and they wanted diluent and other issues allowed to let the Rosneft get at the Venezuelan resources. So when they didn't agree to it, the Saudi Arabia said over on yesterday that that's not going to happen. If you're not going to play ball, then we're not going to play ball. And we're producing, 9.8 million barrels a day in January. We're going to raise production by 2 million. We're going to buy market share. So they offered Asian consumers, China, India, Korea, Japan, $7, $8 discounts on Brent immediately for delivery as soon as possible. And the price of crude oil last night was down below 30. The low this morning from the U.S. WTI futures was 27.34. The day high was 34.88, and the last price is 32.78. So we're looking at a mess here. Could the price of oil back off again below 30? We're playing Russian roulette. So the Russians, didn't take the 1.5 million or participate. That was, the first pull of the trigger. The Saudis retaliated by saying we're going to dump oil and grab market share. That's the second pull of the trigger. Well, how many more pulls of the trigger before the bullet kills you? And that's really the issue, is that none of them economically can survive $30 oil, and so it's a game of chicken. It's probably going to last for a short while because neither country can sustain these prices 3 months from now or 6 months from now. So this is days or weeks before they come to an agreement. The shales in the States are going to get destroyed at these prices. The rig count in the next few weeks should come down. if you're looking at U.S. stock prices, things like Occidental today are down 40%, Exxon's getting murdered, Halliburton's down 37%. I'm just looking at the TV where the quotes are going by. And so there's some very, very significant decimation in the Canadian and U.S. energy sector. I don't believe this will be a long-term nature. I think the values are there. For long-term investors, if you're invested in good names, don't panic. If you've got cash, which is what we have been advising clients, and you and I have been talking for a while about we're waiting for our signals that would tell us we're at a bottom and it was time to buy. We're close, but we're not there yet. I still think the Dow, which is at just around 24,000, the high, if you remember, was 29.6, likely will break 20,000. So there's still another 20% downside, and we will have the typical bear market that we've had in crash of 87, 9/11, 2008, 2009. Bear markets are more than 20%. The average bear market is 30%. So if you take 29.6 and 30%, that tells you we're going to probably pop below 20,000. That is something that could happen shortly. And so we're looking for the signals on the VIX and other things that you look at, number of stocks below the 200-day moving average. There's a number of indicators you can use to get the feel for it. I think we're not far away from that if this thing keeps on having a few more bad days like this, and we will then be sending out my recommendations to our clients. This morning we sent out a kind of a hand-holding piece just saying, here's what's going on. The surprise was the Russian roulette game that's going on now. But this cannot stay, and either of them can't handle it for any length of time. Don't panic if you have good company names. You remember how people felt in 08, 09 when the market was imploding. You know, the world's coming to an end, and then the central banks around the world and the governments around the world came up with the resolution of quantitative easing, et cetera, to stabilize things. I think we're looking at another something like that. But remember, this issue is not a financial or monetary one. This one is started based on the health issues, so it's a little bit more problematic because in China, you're beginning to see the number of new cases come down because of the quarantines and the aggressive action they've taken. We're now seeing Singapore getting the same, but we're still looking at caseload explosion in the United States and a lack of test kits. So this is not over for the States, and I think the U.S. and Europe and other places, and maybe problematically places in South America, Africa, where they don't have the health concerns or health standards that we have in North America or other places more in the OECD. So this thing still has some time to pass. I would not be panicking. I'd be pulling out my buy list, looking at companies that you like for the long term, be they pipeline banks. And Royal Bank today is down 10%. You look at some of the U.S. banks today, they're getting hammered, 10% or more. And look for companies that you really like for the long term. Get your shopping list ready. The time to buy is going to be in the very, very short term. A month from now, we may say, wow, about these, the prices we're seeing today. And 6 months from now, those people who have had the fortitude to buy the bargains will be sitting there, smirking, saying, wow, I'm glad I had cash at the right time.
So, Joseph, you're not too worried about the price, first of all, staying low for a prolonged period of time, but then also having that carryover effect where if we just look at, say, the U.S. stocks that deal in oil or the shale producers, that they're not going to be essentially going bankrupt because they carry such large debt loads and price in the 30s just does not give them any sort of profitability to work with?
Yeah, I don't know specifically the names in the United States that have the high debt load. So individuals should do their homework. Look at the Q4 results. A company that has debt to cash flow over 3 times or more debt than equity, it would be a worrisome. But you have some companies like, of course, an Exxon or an Oxy or BP or Royal Dutch Shell that are paying fabulous dividends, Schlumberger, that will be around. And those kinds of companies are the ones that you should look to be the predators, because they're going to take their balance sheets and buy up these disaster stories maybe before they go bankrupt or out of bankruptcy. We're now seeing junk bonds and energy spreads take off. yields are going crazy because of the concern about the ability to pay. I would expect if this lasts a few weeks, we're going to see announcements of bankruptcies. We've already seen companies which were paying dividends cut them back. And so we're looking at a large amount of pain here. We had the circuit breaker come in this morning when the Dow was down 7%. It rallied back to the 4% level. We're now down, as we speak, at 11:49, Calgary time, that we've now back gone below 7%. Under the circuit breaker rules, you can go to minus 13% before the next circuit breaker kicks in. I don't know if that's going to happen today, but it's very, very likely that we're going to see, the Dow, being down more than 2,000 points today, the biggest point decline day in history, and potentially that 20,000 is something I would be looking for just above, just below it, for all the technical indicators to see if we've got a climactic bottom, like we saw during the crash of 87, I've even started doing some homework on the crash of 1929. And what's interesting about the crash of 29, it was 15 days from the first day of the decline to the last day of the decline. So October 15th to October 29th of 1929. In 1987, it was from October 13th to October 19th. So 6 days, five of them were business days. And so the question is this going to be a 5, 6, 7 day decline pressure point? And so we'll have to keep an eye on that. So this is not going to be months. This is a week. If it feeds on itself, within a week, this will be over, but at much lower levels.
And so how much do you think that the central banks are going to play their role in it? You even mentioned, some of the past actions of central banks, but fact of the matter is right now, interest rates are already so low and central banks were already so easy. What policies do you see them trying to use, or will they be able to save these markets, stabilize them at least?
Okay, so today's March 9th, which is Monday. Next week, Tuesday, the 17th and the 18th is the FOMC meeting. My guess is at the FOMC meeting, they pull out all the stops. Is it $100 billion a month that they buy in paper? Do they start lending money directly to companies that are worried about their balance sheets? The cruise line companies, the airline companies are looking like the most severe casualties out of this mess. Do they lower interest rates by another 50 basis points, which allows individuals who are cash tight to refinance their home if they own one at much lower interest rates, which leaves them more cash in their pocketbook. So I think that every possible decent Band-Aid's going to be pulled on this one, just like it was in 08-09 when they had no choice to come up with solutions. We're right now at 23,949, so the market has broken 24,000, and we're down 1,900 points. I think we break the 2,000 mark, so we have the biggest decline day in points in history, and will be an 8% decline day. Maybe it's more, I don't know, but I'd be watching that 20,000. Just like psychologically 30,000 was important, I think 20,000 becomes psychologically important, both slightly above or slightly below. My personal preference, and again, this may not happen, is we punch slightly below 20,000. That then gives everybody to say, my God, we had a severe bear market in a matter of in less than a month, similar to the crash of 87 and then, similar to 1929. And it goes in the history books as the COVID-19 and Russia, Saudi Arabia, oil price war. So we have like a 1-2 punch.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there. Some interesting comments here, Joseph. It's just another fascinating day for these markets where fear continues to take hold. But hey, you're making the call that you don't think this is going to last all that long and that we should get a turn, which would offer a great buying opportunity. Let's see how or if that all plays out. Joseph, thanks for your time today. Have a great rest of your day.